idea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, February 24th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG, the show with the host with the face for radio. And this morning, it's a fabulous Saturday. The sun is out. It is shining. The weather is trending in a positive direction. So, you know, what could be better? Oh, I know. We could talk about theater. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And I'm joined this morning by two of the fabulous ladies of our community theater, cavalcade of stars, if you will, who are here to talk all about The Irish and How They Got That Way, which is coming to Torrington's Warner Theater, and will be, lost my notes here, will be opening on March 2nd and running through March 17th. I'm joined this morning by the director of the production, Miss Caitlin Beaudry, and the music director, Miss Kelly White. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Great to have you both back. You've both been on the show before. It's been a moment.
Yeah, it's been 5 years. It's been 5 years since
Has it been five years?
Been here, yeah.
Wow. Chorus Line was before the pandemic.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, 5 years. 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun and going through a pandemic and all of those things.
And then coming back to theater and doing fabulous theater and performing and choreographing and now directing.
Yes, my very first time.
And Kelly, you're a first-time music director here at the Warner.
Yes, as far as grown-up productions, as I'm calling it, I most recently worked at Region 10 with Meredith Roll in theater department. Mm-hmm. So it's been a fun switch to work with adults.
Well, I mean, it's very appropriate that we're both very green for the Irish show.
There you go. Right. But not new to theater, just new to these particular roles within the theatrical world. And Caitlin, we go back a little ways. We've done shows together. We did Something Rotten. We did Clue. And Kelly,
we've never
shared the stage.
Done a show together. I've seen you in things.
As I have you.
I've worked backstage on productions that you've been in, but we've never, you know.
How crazy is that?
Right? I think the closest we came was Disaster, because they had trouble. The person that they had for Chad had dropped out, and
then they
reached out to me at one point, and I was unavailable, and that would have been the first and only to this point in time. But
that's so funny. I could have sworn you guys have worked together before. It's crazy how we just all know each other
right?
like that now. It's so funny.
We cross over and whatnot. But I've seen both of you perform. I've seen your work choreographing, Caitlin, and doing the fabulous job with that. I'm always jealous of people that can dance and can teach others to dance.
You can dance. I've seen you dance. I've seen you pretend to tap dance just fine.
I pretend. That's what I do.
Make it till you make it. I say that to everybody I work with.
Exactly. But now you're sitting in the big chair, the director's chair, and Kelly now in the music director's chair for The Irish and How They Got That Way, which is, I mean, I guess it's technically a musical, but it's more like a musical play.
That's exactly. I had a friend, an extended theater friend, reach out to me yesterday, and she went, "Wait, The Irish is a musical?" And I said, "Well, yes and no and yes." I'm like, it's a musical history lesson. That's sort of what I've...
Yeah.
A really jaunty musical history lesson.
That is our big word of the...
Jaunty.
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 Ooh, that's
good.
That's an SAT level word.
Yeah.
And as an English teacher, I approve.
Thank you.
It was at the Warner...
5 years ago.
It was
also 2019. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, 2019 was a big year.
Yeah.
And now...
No, 2018.
Oh, I don't even...
Was it?
Because it opened right after Once did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. So 6 years ago. And it's back now. It was wildly popular back then. It's wildly popular still. It's a brand new production, new team, new cast, new everything. So, Caitlin, since you're the director, why don't you give us... You said it's a musical history lesson. What exactly does that mean?
Sure. So it starts off telling you about... just literally The Irish and How They Got That Way. I know that sounds so stupid, but it's like you start out with just the here's what people thought about Irish people when they came here, mm-hmm. and then you go back to why that happened, why mm-hmm. you know, when they came here, why did they come here. We talk about the potato famine, we talk mm-hmm. about the wars, all the wars that the Irish immigrants participated in, or Irish people participated in their mm-hmm. home country. So it really just hits the high points. I'll say the high points, though. many of them are pretty low, let's be honest, because yeah. it's a very complicated history. And, you know, we kind of call it the Irish and how they got whiplash also, because it will literally be, you hear the most fun song you've ever heard, mm-hmm. and then they
and
tell
then
you
the
about,
wars came.
And then the wars came, and then and the then starvation the and the famine. But it's been very interesting for me to sort of remember, I don't know, I always say that the school system failed me when it came to the potato famine, because I didn't know the potato famine, I didn't know really what happened
right.
until I visited Ireland, mm-hmm. you know, and even more now. Reading through this script and like the information they give you, I'm like, you know, I don't know, the way we perceive certain things about Irish culture, about Irish history, are mm-hmm. a bit different than what actually happened.
Sure. I think for a lot of people that don't have any Irish heritage, it's like, okay, St. Patrick's Day, green leprechauns, mm-hmm. pot of gold, beer.
Mm-hmm.
There was some potato famine mm-hmm. where apparently
potatoes
wouldn't grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
the potatoes did grow.
Right.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to just like sort of reflect on that, and those kind of those things that you think about when you first think of Irish people or Ireland are mm-hmm. not very big
right.
prevalent themes in the show.
Right.
So that's been pretty interesting.
So there's not going to be like a box of Lucky Charms.
There's no Lucky Charms. Yeah, there's no Lucky Charms. Even I mean they talk about, they certainly mention drinking,
mm-hmm.
But. You know, Irish drinking culture is not a huge part of it, and
right.
and I don't even know what else. But it's, you know, it's just interesting how it really is a unique look at Irish history.
Absolutely.
From a you know, an Irish man's perspective.
Yeah, Frank McCourt, the author,
mm-hmm.
Also author of Angela's Ashes and a bunch of other stuff, and you know, one of those uber talented writer types that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who cares, Kelly? You're in a somewhat of an enviable position, I would think, with the music that's part of this whole production, because it's these old tunes that are just so ingrained in the cultural cachet of the Irish, you know, Tooraloora, the Irish lullaby, and Danny Boy, and but it even spreads into the modern when you look at some of the show tunes that came out of Irish composers and performers, and U2, one of the biggest bands on earth. And so you get to sort of touch upon a whole smattering of things. What's that like?
Yeah. It's a really great, kind of carousel of, you know, Irish folk music, and then even kind of American folk music, because there's a whole section of Act Two in particular that talks about how Irish American immigrants affected American pop culture
mm-hmm.
around the turn of the century. And so we've got a lot of great, like, American patriotic music that was written by Irish American people.
Yeah.
Lots of oompaing, lots of, you know, feet stamping and clapping.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of really great melodies that a lot of people are going to recognize.
Sure.
And the way that the score that Irish Rep gives out with the rights is kind of laid out, it's very bare bones,
mm-hmm.
which allows for a lot of creative freedom. So it's been really fun for me to kind of decide, okay, this is the lead sheet for Mother McCree.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to direct Connor, one of our actors, to sing this? And how am I going to decide to underscore him? How mm-hmm. am I going to set the tone for this piece? It's been a little scary, but also a very, very fun creative process.
Yeah, Kelly's done a great job doing that.
And that's different from a lot of shows, because mm-hmm. normally the orchestrations are already set, and it's, you know, the music director becomes the conductor, and you have the score to read off of and everything. But it seems like you're being given the opportunity to become more of an orchestrator, more of an arranger,
yeah.
not arranger necessarily.
Well, I've done a fair share of arranging for this score.
Yes,
but it's a really great end product that we've arrived on, and that's not just for me, that's from the, you know, singers we have, from the band we have.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good collaborative effort.
And that's my, I mean, that is my MO always. Collaboration is, I don't think, especially in community theater, you don't do a thing by yourself. If you sit somewhere and claim, hi, I'm the director, I did this all, I did all of this by myself, I'm in charge of, no way. Like, you need so many people, you need so many people to make it happen, and that's not even, you're not even talking about production staff and all of that.
Right.
It's really like, I could not have been this kind of director or a good director without the cast being receptive creators. Mm. And Kelly, I mean, I could not thank Kelly. I thank Kelly in my bio. I thank Kelly in my director's letter. I'm going to thank her in my epitaph one day. Like, she has really been the other half of my brain. And she pulls triple duty because she acts in this show as well.
Oh.
The band acts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. We're definitely going to have to get into that. Yeah. I want to talk about the cast because it's a small cast and a lot of different things. But to sort of put us in the mood for the Irish and how they got that way, I was able to assemble some songs that many of which are traditionally Irish have some fan base out there, if you will. So you're not going to hear a lot of show tunes here this morning on Backstage. It's one of those rare days where it's not, you know, really Broadway heavy.
Backstage, and how it got that way.
Right? That's a whole other story. I tell you what, that's a one-act dark play is what that is.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. But why don't we kick things off with one of the most Irish songs that you can probably think of. We're going to do a little Danny Boy here.
Oh, and the grandmothers will cry.
They will. And this is sung by someone that we often associate with music from the Christmas time of year. This is the Andy Williams version.
Oh.
I'm telling you, it's not show tunes this morning.
Love
so here he is, Andy Williams singing Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer or when the valley's hushed and white with snow, it's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny Boy, I love you so. Oh, Danny Boy, oh, Danny Boy.
That was Andy Williams with his version of Danny Boy here on Backstage on WZBG. And this morning, it's all things Irish, it seems, because we're talking about the Irish and how they got that way, coming to Torrington's Warner Theatre, opening on March 2nd, running through March 17th. Tickets and information available at warnertheatre.org. And I'm joined by director Caitlin Beaudry and music director Kelly White to talk all about the show. I think it's a good time, because I don't remember, Kelly or Caitlin, which of you it was, but kind of teed it up nicely to talk about the performers in this, because it's four, well, okay, sort of four, sort of five, kind of more.
Sort of six.
Sort of six.
Sort of six. The show has had a few different iterations since Frank McCourt originally created it. He's rewritten it a couple of times, which is his prerogative. Fine, whatever. You have four sort of like primary storytelling performers, and then space to add more if necessary.
True.
So why don't we start with the primary four that, that you've got for this one?
Sure. We got, again, some community theater royalty, as I like to say, in, in our my friend Ricky Sue Blasco. We have Robert Wiener, who I've worked with a few times and adore, and Connor Sullivan, who I just met last summer. He played Mr. Krabs when I choreographed SpongeBob, and boy, that was so fun. And a number of people, since we posted a few videos online, have gone, oh my God, Connor's that good? He's that good? Because he did that Mr. Krabs voice all summer. Right. So that's, I mean, of course he could sing well, but he didn't know. He's that good.
I went to undergrad with Connor, so I've known he had the voice of an angel since I was like 19.
No disrespect to Andy Williams, but when you hear him sing Danny Boy, the tears will flow. And then we have a new face to our theater named Mandy Jaramillo, and she is fantastic. We have so enjoyed working with her. And she's one of those people that, this is my favorite story ever, is the, I haven't done theater since I was in college, or I haven't done theater in 15, 20 years, whatever, and I just had to do it.
Sure.
Like, I was compelled to get out and do something. And this was the thing I did. So I'm like, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I'm so happy to have you. So, and then of course, so those are our main people, and they've been just tremendous. So this is a tough script.
Yeah.
It's a really tough script. So like, as you said, it can be four people, whatever. The four people in the script are the names of the actors who did it, you know, the last time at Irish Rep, but maybe the last time he rewrote it. So we just got to go, okay, well, now this is you. You know, Kieran is Connor, and Terry is Mandy, and all this. And then we were going through, and then we're like, who the heck's Kevin?
And who's Patrick?
And wait, there's this one line for a guy named Patrick. Who the heck is Patrick? Where did Patrick come from? And, you know, as we figured it out, it was the band. It's the band, or the music director, or whoever. And so I looked at Kelly, and I went, well, you're in the show. This is fun. And then, of course, Kelly's fiancé, Noel, is our guitar player, and I said, guess what, you're Kevin. I said, you're half Kevin. So we collectively say we're all Kevin. We are all Kevin together. But it really provides an interesting opportunity to just kind of play around and but again, the script is rough because it's history.
Yeah.
I mean, as a teacher, you know, to stand up in front of a group of people and make learning interesting, or make, you know, like, it, keep it engaging, is difficult, and it's very wordy, and it's but they're doing a great job. I'm like so impressed with what they've done in the month and a half that we've had to.
It's been a rapid production process.
Very fast. I keep reminding myself that, and on their behalf too, because it really is, and it's a lot of material for four people. You know, you don't have that luxury of, okay, I sit down for two scenes now. I get to go downstairs. They don't leave the stage either.
Right.
So, like, you know, they don't have that luxury of kind of, like, taking a minute and preparing for your next scene. You're going from there to there to there and singing a song and doing a full-page speech and then, you know, moving on to the next song. So I'm very impressed with what, you know, what they've done.
And it's not it's not sort of a standard play or standard musical in that, yes, they're characters, but the characters aren't experiencing conflict and aren't they're just relating this history.
Yeah, I say this in my director's letter in the program too. For me, what was so attractive about this was that I have always, since I was a little kid, Irish storytelling has been part of me. My dad my dad did all sorts of things in that he was a Boy Scout, and so he did storytelling through the Boy Scouts. And so we would listen to Irish music. He listened to the Clancy Brothers, Makeham and Clancy. And in between every song, he's telling some story, whether it's a real story, whether it's a story that's been told through his family for generations, whatever it is. And sometimes they're sad. Oftentimes right. they're so sad. And sometimes they're so ridiculously funny. I mean, there's a song in the show called Mrs. McGrath that is so quintessentially Irish in the way that it's the way the story is told. Mm-hmm. But that's always spoken to me, is the way that Irish people tell a story. Mm-hmm. And that's what these people are. They're not really characters. They're storytellers.
Right.
And so that's been important to me from the beginning, to communicate with them that that's what we're doing. We're not acting. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd stop them in the process and I'd go, stop acting. Just talk. Because, first of all, whatever you're saying is so heavy or so poignant that you don't have to act it. You
right.
just have to tell it with the weight and the sincerity that it deserves.
Yeah.
And they've done that. I mean, they're doing that tremendously. Tremendously.
And Kelly, we were talking before the song about your role as music director. You have a latitude here because it's a framework of sorts, if you will. So every band that does this can be a little bit different in terms of its construction, in terms of its approach. What did you end up deciding on? What are audiences going to hear when they come and they see the show?
So my original intention was to have myself on piano, my fiancé Noel on guitar and playing the Irish Balron, mm-hmm. And then I searched high and low for a string player, but, you know,
hey, TSO kids out there, could you tell your musician friends to please do community theater? We really need them.
TSO has a concert the same weekend during one of the runs of our show, so that didn't come to fruition. But that's all right, because what, you know, I've kind of put together with Noel has matched the kind of the conceit of the play that mm-hmm. Caitlin has thought up, which was we are all family at Nan's house.
Okay.
On a Sunday.
And yeah. we Sunday are cousin Kelly and cousin Noel, who I think of my grandmother like rolling up to, you know, family gatherings with all of her, you know, whatever seasonally appropriate Reader's Digest anthology, like the Christmas anthology or the children's anthology or the patriotic anthology. Like cousin Kelly always has her music book on her mm-hmm. and she's always noodling around on the piano, and cousin Noel always has a guitar and is waiting to break out to you too at any point he can.
You know that guy. You know that guy.
He is that guy. Yeah. I mean,
he has the potential to be that guy at any time.
This is typecasting is what this is.
So it's very, again, like I said before, it's very collaborative. It's very, like, group-minded. Mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, some slime tutorials of the Irish and how they got that way, like, on YouTube, and we watched the archival footage, my approach to the music was not so much like, oh, this part needs to be this and this part needs to be this and I'm going to add in all these harmonies so the music has more substance. It doesn't need more substance.
Right.
It's these songs have been sung in groups mm-hmm. for centuries mm-hmm. sometimes. They don't need any extra frills.
Yep.
Or they don't need to be made more theatrical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They just are, and they're wonderful.
Yeah. You know, there's something to be said for not overproducing, mm-hmm. not, you know, don't overdo it. It's let it speak for itself. Let it stand on its own because it's there.
I've said that a number of times where I go, okay, on this part we should be doing, and then I go, don't overthink it. Like, yeah. this is not, you know,
yeah.
it's not the producers. It's not, you know, whatever. It's just what it is. They need to tell the story and they need to tell it. Correctly.
So the fog machines and the laser lights are out?
Yeah, unfortunately, the bubble machines just weren't going to... We tried
we
to get them
the
in
for
there.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you could get Craig to just stand there with a sparkler.
Yeah, he would. No, he would. You're right. He would do that.
Shout out to Craig Clavette, stage manager extraordinaire.
My wonderful, wonderful stage manager. He's the other one. I appreciate Craig. He's my emotional support animal, honestly. He is, because I will just... Something will affect me in a way, and I'll just turn and be like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like... Okay, gotcha. That's okay.
So
it's all right.
Yes,
yeah, so right. Like never flustered, never Love it.
I feel like he's secretly a duck on a pond. You know, yeah. you see them just smoothly gliding, but you know those webbed feet are going a mile.
Oh no, that's for sure. That's for sure. And we love him for
it. We do. Shout out to Craig Clevett, friend of the show, great guy. We're coming towards the 9:30 mark, so why don't we pause for another song? We'll come back with the buzz, and then we can get even more into talking about the Irish and how they got that way, which is coming to the Warner Theater, opening on March 2nd, running through March 17th. Tickets and information at warnertheater.org. Yeah, it's all up there now. Okay, so
got it.
This is another typically Irish song. It's going to be performed by an artist named Mick Maloney, who clearly...
A classic Irish name.
I thought he was Italian, but I guess I was wrong. But this song, I always think of the movie Catch Me If You Can, because mm-hmm. it's a moment where the character of Frank Abagnale mm-hmm. Jr. lets his guard down and just has a family moment with a family that's not his. but it's his fiancée's family, and they're watching, I forget what the program is on television, and they have this Irish sing-along at the end of the program, and they sing this song. Has anybody here seen Kelly?
Michael Kelly with his sweetheart came from the County Cork, and bent upon the holiday, they landed in New York. They strolled around to see the sights, alas, it's sad to say. Poor Kelly lost his little girl upon the Great White Way. She walked uptown from Herald Square to 42nd Street. The traffic stopped as she cried out to the copper on the beat. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? You'll know him by his smile. Sure, his hair is red and his eyes are blue. He is Irish through and through. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Emerald Isle. A band began to play. 10,000 men were marching, for it was St. Patrick's Day. The wearing of the green rang out upon the morning air. 'Twas Kelly's favorite song, so Mary said, I'll find him there. She climbed upon the grandstand in the hopes her Mike she'd see. 500 Kellys left the ranks in answer to her plea. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? You'll know him by his smile. His hair is red and his eyes are blue. He is Irish through and through. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Emerald Isle. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K, you know how to spell it. Has anybody here seen Kelly? You'll know him by his smile. His hair is red and his eyes are blue. He is Irish through and through. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Emerald Isle.
Single minute matters. It's truly a matter of life and death.
Earthquake in Turkey, 50,000 dead. Flooding in Libya, 40,000 displaced. Cyclones in Malawi, more than 500,000 affected. Conflict in Syria, 1 million dead. Drought in Somalia, 8 million affected. 735 million going hungry every night. Care is there. Visit care.org.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
All right, let's look at the theatrical world, shall we? Performances first. Goshen Players are opening their production of Arsenic and Old Lace tonight. It's opening tonight, February 24th, running through March 10th. You can go to goshenplayers.org for tickets and information. Landmark Community Theater will be opening their production of Escape to Margaritaville next weekend, March 2nd, running through March 17th. For information or tickets, go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org. Phoenix Stage Company is wrapping up their production of The Farce of Habit tonight, February 24th. I saw it last weekend. It is a hoot. There may still be some seats available. Check out phoenixstagecompany.org to find out more about that. TheaterWorks New Milford is going to be opening their production of Wait Until Dark on March 28th, and that's going to run all the way through April 14th. Check out theaterworks.us for information or tickets. And as we've been talking about here this morning, the Warner Theater is opening their production of The Irish and How They Got That Way next weekend, March 2nd. It's going to run through March 17th. For information or to purchase tickets, you can go to warnertheater.org. Two auditions to mention. Phoenix Stage Company has announced auditions for The Legend of Georgia McBride. Those will be happening on February 26th and 27th, so that would be Monday and Tuesday, from 6 to 9 p.m. over at the Phoenix Stage Company compound out there in scenic Oakville, Connecticut. To find out more, you can go to phoenixstagecompany.org. And the Warner Theater has announced auditions for their production of Love, Sex, and the IRS. Those will be March 10th and 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. Those are by appointment only. To find out more or schedule an appointment, you should go to warnertheater.org. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for a quick word, and then we'll be back with more The Irish and How They Got That Way.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace, the funniest show in town.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Martha.
We play the Brewster Sisters.
We give comfort to lonely old men.
Every family has its secrets, and the eccentric Brewster family is no exception.
I'm Mortimer Brewster, and I've discovered that my sweet old aunts have a new hobby, and it gives having skeletons in your closet a whole new meaning.
Chaos ensues as Mortimer tries to keep his aunts out of trouble and deal with his crazy relatives. With witty dialogue and unforgettable characters, Arsenic and Old Lace will have you on the edge of your seat.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace live on stage, three weekends, February 24th through March 10th.
All tickets are $25 and can be reserved at goshenplayers.org.
Arsenic and Old Lace is a madcap comedy about the only thing more deadly than poison, family.
There's cabaret seating at all performances. Tickets are going fast, so be sure to reserve yours today at goshenplayers.org. That's goshenplayers.org.
Elderberry, why, anyone?
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG, and we're finding out how we trend with our younger demographics.
Yeah, the 7-year-olds, not so much. And she likes me, too, so I'm not even... Yeah, she loves Kelly.
It's true. It's friends across lifetimes.
Yeah. It must be me. I'm the weak link here. You know? Typical. But I'm joined this morning by director Caitlin Beaudry and music director Kelly White from the Warner production of The Irish and How They Got That Way, which is opening, as I've said a few times, next weekend and running through March 17th, right up to St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
A big closing. That's a fun day to have a closing.
Yeah.
So.
But please, ladies and gentlemen, if you do decide to enjoy some Irish-inspired beverages on St. Patrick's Day and see the show, maybe hold off on the beverages till after the show.
Be responsible.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it's not an interactive show.
No, you're right. It is not an interactive. Well, that's interesting because, so actually the audience will have the opportunity to purchase alcohol and soda and water and snacks from our in-home bar that will be on stage.
Ooh.
So they will be welcomed to walk up on stage and...
during the intermission or before the show.
Yes, not during the show.
Yes.
You might get hit with a flying potato.
Yes, you do have to watch out for flying potatoes in this show. That's true.
Oh.
That is a warning.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The flying potato.
Flashback to my younger years when my brother, who's an amateur, pain in the neck.
He built a
compressed air potato can.
So did my brother.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
boy.
It was so cool.
Do you still have the bruises from that?
it didn't really... So he went to a plumbing supply store and bought, like, legit PVC pipe and valves and things, and he bought pipe that was too wide for a potato, but it was just the right size for a croquet ball.
Oh boy!
Oh no!
And
oh boy!
Yeah, there was a near miss.
Yeah.
So we decided to disassemble that.
Yeah.
Well, we will not have a potato cannon.
Yes.
I believe our potatoes are only thrown underhand.
Underhand potato throwing.
Very good. Very good. I feel like this is some weird, like, Irish lumberjack game thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Instead of log tossing, it's potato tossing.
Yeah. They'd have to do, like, the whole bag, an entire bag of potatoes.
Right. You mentioned the in-home bar, mm-hmm. and you're setting it in, I think you called it Nan's house.
Mm-hmm.
So the original production, if I remember right, was, like, on the docks, and it was a bunch of Irish dock workers. And then when the Warner did it 5 or 6 years ago, they set it in an actual Irish
mm-hmm.
pub.
Yep.
So the allure of moving it to Nan's house, mm-hmm. talk to me about that.
So for me, it really goes back to what I was saying before about the storytelling and how that feeling of the way, you know, when you have that kind of big family gathering and you're all there and it's cousins and friends and, friends that are family and all that stuff, and you're sitting around and telling stories and the way that that happens. And that's what this felt like to me. Mm. The more it kind of went through my brain, I said, this feels like you're with your aunt, your uncle, and your cousins, and your uncle is telling a story, and your uncle's going to tell one story that's kind of funny, and he's mm-hmm. going to da-da-da, and he's going to be a little effusive about it, and your other uncle is going to say, yeah, but you know what, the famine, and he's going to tell you about the famine, mm. and so I said, what if we're all the ones telling our audience? Our audiences are, you know, younger family members, or whatever, whoever it is. That was another thing for me was, when I say that that's the concept, it's all very like, I don't know what the word is, like flowy. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a set. I didn't want it to be like, Connor is the dad and Mandy's the mom.
Right,
and Ricky's
right,
the,
right, right.
Like, they are just family. Mm-hmm. They're whoever you look at when you look at them and you go, oh, that reminds me of, you know, and the cool thing too now is seeing them as we've gone along sort of iron out their own who they are, who they think and how that is translating, you know, to the people watching. So yeah, so you're in the house, you're in Nan's living room, the basement bar is off to the left, and what we've been calling the mud room, but it's sort of the entryway area, and that's sort of where Kelly and Noel hang out, but you're at Nan's house, you just had Sunday dinner, everyone's sitting around and gabbing, telling stories.
Oh yeah, so many family flashbacks about all that. Yeah, we'll just all get together and eat and sit around and chat. And
yeah, and I know I understand like that concept might not make any sense to some people. I get that. Some people don't have families like that, or they don't. But for me, that it just is what the storytelling is what spoke to me, and mm-hmm. that's where my brain went.
There you go.
And I followed, which is scary, but I did it.
It was the right thing to do.
I think so, too. I saw a number of productions, as Kelly said, as you do your research. Other ones are set. I've seen another production set in a bar, but I've seen a lot that were sort of just acting troopy looking.
Oh,
you know,
black boxes
on set and stuff like that. Very bare bones, but...
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this translates and people enjoy it. I hope so.
I would think so. I mean, the Irish are many things, mm-hmm. but they can be very warm and welcoming,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the family dynamic that you're talking about, bringing in, like, hey, this is a place that you would go to and a place that you would feel accepted and welcomed, and mm-hmm. I think it all meshes pretty nicely, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, for whatever my opinion's worth, it ain't worth a whole heck of a lot,
hey,
I tell you that much.
At least a dollar.
I think you're overpaying by about $5. and you know, so it goes. So, Kelly, for you as the music director, as one of the Kevins,
we're all Kevin.
This is getting a little like Walking Dead. I'm Negan kind
yes,
of
yes,
kind of a
Negan.
Thing going on. But how is it for you being there and on stage and having those moments of it? Like, is it a new challenge to be like, okay, I'm doing this, and then occasionally I have to remember to chime in and pipe up? And
I mean, I feel like a lot of the productions that I have done at the Warner in the past have kind of primed me for a spot like this, if that makes sense. I've done a lot of shows where even if I am not in a scene, I am sitting off on the side and I'm expected to engage and react. And, you know, operas I've done in college have, you know, I was, you know, a number one ensemble member a lot of times in college. So sitting off to the side while knowing I have certain responsibilities, but being able to chime in when it's my turn, I feel like I've had a lot of practice doing. So this time, it's fun that I don't have to worry about any blocking. I can just sit and say my favorite line about Tip O'Neill.
Oh, boy. Hey, oh, boy. She eats that one up. It's great. It's great.
And, you know, it's, again, the community-minded aspect. I am making music with my family and my friends. And it doesn't feel like I'm performing, even when I'm saying my lines, the few that I have. It's just we're sitting and we're hanging out and we're jamming.
Yeah. And casually dropping in the oh, yeah, I did opera in college. And, like, you know. Like, that's
shouting.
No big deal.
She calls it fancy shouting. My degree in fancy shouting, which enabled me to play all of these songs on the piano.
That's right, you know.
Hey, that's a very valuable skill. Yes. I got it. I know enough about piano to make myself dangerous, but I can't play, and that's one of my regrets in life, that I never really learned how to really play piano.
Well, big shout out to Ken Clark at UConn for helping me be able to learn how to read a lead sheet and cheat.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
You know, why don't we pause for another song, and then we'll come back. We will have to mention the weather, that, you know, people are interested because it's a bright, sunny day.
It is a nice day, honestly.
Which is good. And then we'll start to wrap things up because it's already like 9:44. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
Time flies.
Right? So this next one, I had to make sure to play it no matter what anybody else said. My lovely and talented girlfriend, Lynn, was in the production at the Warner 5 or 6 years ago.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Lynn. We love you.
Shout out to her. She's listening. Actually, she's probably not listening.
Oh, no, she's interesting.
Yeah, she's working this weekend out of state and occupied at the moment. But she was fortunate enough to be able to sing this in the production 5 or 6 years ago. And I think, is it Ricky Sue singing
Ricky Sue singing this one.
Singing it this year. And she is obviously a tremendous talent, and I look forward to hearing her rendition of it. This is, who's singing this? Celtic Mayhem are singing this one. Yeah, yeah, a nice Polish group.
Kevin and the Celtic Mayhem. Sorry.
I think that's the new band
that's
name.
That's the new band name, yeah.
Ta-da.
Write it down, Noel.
There you go. You get to be the mayhem. So here's Celtic Mayhem with the song Fields of Athenry.
Prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they've taken you away for you stole Trevelyan's corn. So the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the young free birds fly. Our love was on the wing. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebelled, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Lola, the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the young free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Watched plaster falling as the prison ship sailed out against the sky. Now she lives in hope and prays for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Lowly, the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the young free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely around the fields of Athenry. Lowly, the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the young free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely around the fields of Athenry.
That was Fields of Athenry from Celtic Mayhem here on Backstage on WZBG, fitting for the Irish and how they got that way, which is coming to Torrington's Warner Theatre, opening on March 2nd, running through March 17th. Go to warnertheatre.org for tickets and information. I'm joined this morning by the fabulous director, Caitlin Beaudry, and the wonderful music director, Kelly White. And we're just having a grand old time talking about the Irish, talking about how they got that way, talking about theatre and whatnot, the various ways we've intertwined over the years and cross paths or not.
Or not.
As the case
someday
may be.
Someday, Eric, we'll get on stage together.
Yeah, I mean, it took me until this past November, December to finally be on stage with Noel, so.
That's
the first time you, that's funny.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
We all orbit each other.
Yeah, eventually we come back around. And
yeah, right.
The next thing will be the next thing will be the next thing.
Yep.
But right now, the next thing is the current thing, which is the Irish and how they got that way. Is it a prop heavy show? Is there a lot of like little business that goes on, or just it sort of naturally evolved into having some business, or? Because, I mean, since they're storytellers, it's
yes, they certainly have a few little, costumey, prop things.
Mm-hmm.
Where that was similarly as I'm translating the idea, you know, into my concept. It was that idea of, like, you know, you grab your grandma's apron off the wall to throw around you to do a little joke because you're being funny. And so it's sort of all, it becomes a little bit a game of dress up. mostly for the boys. Mostly for the guys. But the girls have their fair share of little things to put on. But no, I also, part of the biggest prop they'll use is actually a book that says The Irish and how they got that way in big old letters on the front, because that's the story they're telling. So so watching them sort of interact with the book has been fun.
The book.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you to Lana Peck, making the most beautiful.
Very beautiful book.
Irish She's book. Astounding. The things that she can do, the way she sees material and how to make it work is just next level stuff.
Yeah, she's been very helpful, very... very helpful to me.
By the way, Kelly, you may be a little young for what I'm about to say, but Caitlin, you and I are about the same age, so you might get this one. When you say the book, do you flash back to the Care Bear movie?
Oh my gosh, the book.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Nicola.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
You'd love the Care Bear movie. It's
You would.
It's great.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. Is that the Escape from Katrina one, or is that My Little Ponies?
I think that's My Little Ponies.
Sorry. Well, they were on the same VHS in my house growing up.
Okay.
Like taped off TV, I think. So.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a throwback for you. and I think there was a Shamrock Bear in Care Bears.
Absolutely. I do know that.
Okay.
He's
Good Luck Bear
I think, yeah. Whatever.
Which brings us back.
Yeah.
We need one of him, and we need Uncle O'Grimacy.
That's right. Uncle O'Grimacy. Yeah, if anybody out there has an Uncle O'Grimacy cup.
Any from Shamrock the Shake connoisseurs.
From the 1980s, I would love that.
Oh,
you just want to borrow him for a couple weeks. We'll give him back.
Well, I might not.
At least she's honest, folks.
Yeah, sorry.
But you mentioned the dress-up aspect of it. The incomparable Renee Purdy is your customer, is she not?
She is.
And so what's she set up for?
So she came in and said, I want to modernize it a little bit. Not that anything they were wearing last time was like old looking, but she just said, I would just kind of want to update the look. And they all just look so cute. I mean, my main word at first, like when I was conveying the idea for the set and stuff, was cozy. Mm-hmm. I just kept going, cozy, warm. Everything is just nice and makes you feel like that. And that's and I feel like that's like, you know, they have nice cozy sweaters on, and they look great. She's done a really nice job. As always.
I don't, you know, and there are some tremendous costumers working in the area, I must say, but I don't know that you can find anybody better than Renee Purdy.
And she what's interesting too is Renee worked on another production of this show many years ago, and which Frank McCourt, like, you know, he came and saw it, and she spoke to him, and so she has some interesting insight here and there, which has been
the stories
nice.
That she has.
Oh, please, I know. Right? When she and I costumed Dogfight together.
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh, we sat in that costume shop and gabbed. I mean, just gabbed. I mean, we did the work too, but
of course.
My gosh, the things I knew about her family and the theater and her old theater days, it was just fantastic. It's the kind of experience you want.
There you go. Know? So we're coming up towards the end here, so I guess I'll just put this out there, sort of the final, like, question, if you will. What are you hoping the audiences walk out of the theater thinking or feeling or having experienced? And that's to both, by the way, so whoever wants to go first.
There are so many earworms in this show. And so I think what I'm hoping is that audience members will, you know, hear the songs they recognize, but walk out humming tunes that they don't know. Because there are a few in there that, like, unless you're super Irish or you've been to Ireland, you might not know, but they're going to get stuck in your head anyway.
Oh,
and
yes.
If they've had to be stuck in my head for the past month and a half, they're going to be stuck in your head too. But you're going to like it, I promise.
Or else.
I just hope that people enjoy it, that they learn something. I guarantee that anybody under the age of 40 will learn something when they see this show about history, even Irish-American history. That was definitely one, like, we talked about George Cohan and how I didn't know this guy wrote, you know, all these famous show tunes and all this stuff. But, so I just hope
George
that,
M.
Or that George M, yes.
That was the musical.
Oh!
George M.
His literal name, we couldn't think of his actual.
Yeah. that's going back to an off-air conversation, sorry. But
Just hope that people learn something and they enjoy it and that they find it interesting and engaging, and they enjoy themselves. That's all well, I hope. I'm what theater is. I you know, everybody should walk in and leave feeling something.
There you go. And I'm sure they will, because the material is great and the production staff is top notch, I must say.
We're
so.
Okay. Thank you.
We're doing our best.
We're doing our best.
It's The Irish and How They Got That Way, coming to Torrington's Warner Theater, opening on March 2nd, running through the 17th. Go to warnertheater.org for information and ability to purchase tickets. Caitlin and Kelly, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure to see you both.
Thank you for having us, Eric.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I hope everybody else out there is too. And I'm going to leave you with a little bit of some modern Irish music, a little U2 to get you going here this morning, because this is sung in the show.
That's
so
right.
Here they are with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. This is U2. Have a great week, everybody.
FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington, and the Farmington Valley.